Over the next few weeks, I'm not sure how many yet, I want to be looking at and talking about breakthrough faith. We're going to be looking at faith there, living lives in the possible. Do you know, when I read scripture and it says, with God, all things are possible. All things are possible. And so for those that believe, and I just sense God just speaking to me to bring just some message on faith. Faith is an important part of our Christian life. How many have heard, just have a little faith. Just have a little faith. We talk about, I have my faith. I have my faith. And so what is that? And as I said, the truth is that in our Christian life, faith does play a massive part, a big part of our Christian lives. And you know, as I pray and I'm seeking God, I just felt that God was wanting to say to some people that he is going to lead you into that place where you will believe and hope again, because some have lost that hope. Some have lost that, just that trust in God. And that is due to maybe disappointment or discouragement. You've been praying for things. You've been seeking for breakthrough. And it doesn't seem to be happening. And so I believe that God is wanting just to see that breakthrough. His desire is for you to walk in that breakthrough. And you know, there is going to be that sense of belief and trust in God going to be restored to your life, I believe. God wants us to live in confident trust in him. To trust in him. To trust in him. And the key is faith. And the key is where we put our faith. It's in him. We are saved by grace. Anyone saved by grace here? We have been saved by grace through faith. Nothing that we could do can earn our salvation. We are, or couldn't be good enough to earn our own salvation. There was only one person good enough, and that was Jesus Christ. And he died on the cross, and he paid the price for your sins. That is good news. We are also called to walk by faith and not by sight. Easily said than done. Because most of the time, I think a lot of the time, we walk by sight. We look at our circumstances, we look at our situations, and we flounder and we waver in our faith. And we think, God, are you actually there? Do you actually care, God, that I am going through this stuff? The four friends, as they brought their friend on a mat to be healed, they came to a house that was packed. The door was packed. The house was packed. There was no way in. They saw that. Do you know, they could have said, maybe it's the Lord's will that the healing is not for today. We will come back another day. Maybe it's to be in another place where Jesus is. But no, they were determined. And they went up onto the roof and they cut a hole in the man's roof and they laid this man down. And you know, again, I just felt there was a spiritual significance in just in that story of as they cut that ceiling, as they cut that roof, that God wanted to cut a hole. He wanted to break through the ceilings that we put on our life. Do you know that thing where we are praying, it just like, God, I don't seem to be getting through. God, I don't seem to be breaking through. But God is going to break through. And like these four men, they had the faith, your faith. The lady with the issue of blood, do you know, shouldn't even have been anywhere near the crowd because she was unclean. She had an issue of blood for so many years, but she knew that if she could touch Jesus, she would be healed. Again, there was a crowd. People were crowding in on Jesus. Everyone was wanting a piece of Jesus. And this lady was here and she crawled through. She went through that place and she touched. She touched Jesus. And what happened? She was healed. And I believe for faith, that breakthrough faith is that determination that God, I am pressing through. I am not giving up. I am not allowing these ceilings in my life to hold me back from experiencing all that you want for my life. Are you with me? Yes. I want to see more of Jesus. I'm hungry for more, and I'm hungry to see more breakthrough come. You know, this is an invitation on a journey to explore faith, to try faith, to be in that place. And yes, the grace of God will come. And I believe that God will see and help us lift the restrictions off of our life. Do you know, there is barriers to encountering God. There is barriers that probably bring just not seeing the promises of God take hold in our life. Unbelief, unforgiveness, sin. Do you know, there are so many things, but I believe as we press through these barriers, you will see a different way of living. These are too quiet. Come on, turn to someone and say, you're going to see a different way of living. Come on, you need to convince yourself. You're going to see a different way of living. The truth is that the enemy of our soul, the devil, he wants to restrict you. He wants to confine you. He wants to stop you in your tracks from experiencing all that God would have for your life. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you, to give you a future, to give you hope. Not trouble-free, but through him. You know, we would experience him more. Jesus has come to give us life, and life in all its fullness. Freedom. Yes, exactly, Max. I've just realized how much I speak with my hands. I've just seen my hands waving about. Our verses of scripture that I want to launch today with is Hebrews chapter 10, verses 39. So if you have your paper Bibles with you, if you have your Bibles with you, iPads, iPhones, phones, wherever it is, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 35 to 39. So it says, so do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. Patient endurance is what you need now. So for some people here, patient endurance is what you need now. Patient endurance is what you need now, so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that he has promised. For in just a little while, the coming one will come and not delay. And my righteous ones will live by faith. One other version says, the just will live by faith. Those that have been justified by God will live by faith. But I will take no pleasure in anyone who turns away. But we do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but to those who have faith and are saved. Wow. Do not throw away your confident trust in the Lord. Hold on. Hold on tight. Hold on tight to that trust in God. So what is faith? Well, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we cannot see. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we cannot see. It is an assurance of what we can't see. That is faith. Faith is for the future, for tomorrow. You know, I can't say, God, would you give me the faith for last week? Last week's gone. Last week's gone. God, give me the faith that I can face tomorrow, no matter what it looks like. Help me to trust in you. So faith is looking ahead at the message. The Message says the fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, is a firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle on what we can't see. So what can't you see? That you need faith. That God would open your spiritual eyes today. Again, the truth is that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And it is impossible to please God because without faith, or impossible to please God without faith, anyone who wants to come to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Earnestly seek Him. Earnestly seek Him. One quote from Warren Wiersbe says, "Faith is personal confidence in the character of God and in the reliability of His promises as we obey His will. Faith in the Lord will enable us to step out in obedience to God regardless of how we feel or what the circumstances in our life look like." That is faith. Today, I want to speak on the attitude of faith. So today, have you got an attitude? Attitude is important. You can have a good attitude, or you can have a bad attitude. My mum would always tell me, "Stephen, you need to change your attitude." Because I had a bad attitude. I was owed. I felt she owed me, the world owed me, the teachers owed me. I was a rascal. I had an attitude. I know it's so hard to believe. This godly man had an attitude. Well, I did. And is there days when I could have an attitude and do have an attitude? I bet you there is. Our attitude is important. It will shape your life. It will influence the decisions that you make in life. It will influence whether you take a step of faith or you don't take a step of faith. It will cause you to shrink back or move forward. And it's so important that we identify the attitude in our life. And today, I want that to be an attitude of faith, being set a posture, a settled way, a fixed way of thinking. God, I am taking faith. My trust is in You. I just love, I think I've read this before, but it made me smile. A man bought a parrot. And after a few days, he discovered it had a bad attitude. Every word out of the bird's mouth was rude, obnoxious. It was laced with profanity, and the man tried and tried and tried to change the bird's attitude by being consistently polite and playing soft music. Let's put some soaking music on for the parrot and everything else that he could think of to clean up the bird's vocabulary, but nothing was working. Finally, the man got so fed up that he yelled at the parrot. And the parrot yelled back. The man shook the parrot, and the parrot got angrier and even more rude. And in desperation, the man threw up his hands, grabbed the parrot, and put him in the freezer. And for a few minutes, the parrot squawked and kicked and screamed. Then suddenly, after a minute, total silence. Fearing that he'd killed the parrot, the man quickly opened the door to the freezer, and the parrot calmly stepped out onto the man's arm and said, "I believe I may have offended you with my rude language and my actions. I am sincerely sorry for my inappropriate transgressions, and I fully intend to do everything I can to correct my rude and unforgivable behavior." The man was stunned. And the change of the bird's attitude, and as he was about to ask the parrot what caused such a dramatic change in his behavior, the bird continued, "May I ask what the chicken did?" Just let that sink in. Do you need a change in attitude? You get in the freezer. Do you know, on aeroplanes, they have an attitude indicator indicating the position of the aeroplane in relation to the horizon. Do you know, this indicator will tell you whether you're climbing, whether you're going off course, going to the left or to the right, whether you're banking, whether you're in a descent. So this will keep you right. A pilot needs this to keep him balanced and steady on course. And you know, for us in our lives, we have an attitude indicator, the Holy Spirit, the Word of God. And I believe that keeps us on course with what God is doing in our life. The times when we are going off course, His Word will bring that Word to us and bring us back on course. The Holy Spirit will convict us of sin. Do you know, we have an attitude indicator in our lives. And God wants us to live with an attitude of faith. Faith that will cause you to step out in confidence. Faith that will cause you to trust God that He really loves me. He really, really loves me. And it is a journey. Faith that will take you out of the boat, out of a comfort zone, and into a faith zone. And you know, for a lot of times in our life, we get comfortable in our life. Are you comfortable? You know, sometimes in life, we just get comfortable. Not really any risk. We are risk averse. In my time at Glasgow Elam, I came to a point when I was comfortable. I could do all the ministries. There was no stretch in my life. There was no need, I believe, to take big steps of faith. Until God says, "Stephen, I am loosening the soil and it's going to be time to move." And my comfort zone no longer began to be comfortable because God was making it uncomfortable. And God brought me to Dundee to lead a church. That was a step of faith. Because my thing, as I've said many times, why on earth would I go to Dundee? And God says, because I am calling you to Dundee. It was a step of faith. Every journey begins with one step. With one step. And the danger is that many of us settle for less than God's best. Many of us, me included, we settle for less than what God has for us. And it's going to take boldness. It's going to take courage to take those steps of faith in our life. Over the weeks, you will see people in the Bible that had no faith. There was times Jesus couldn't do any miracles for the lack of faith. There was people who had little faith. A lot of times, the disciples, Jesus said to them, "Oh, you of little faith." Peter, "Oh, you of little faith." They were hanging about with Jesus, and yet he would still say, "Oh, you of little faith." And there was men and women who had great faith. Great faith. A lot of times, these were Gentiles. The centurion, a man of great faith, wasn't even a Jew, came and had faith for Jesus to heal his servant. So, no faith, little faith, great faith. And I believe we need to get a better understanding of what faith is if we are going to operate in faith. What it does, how do we live lives that bring that breakthrough in our life? How do we learn about faith? Well, we have to read the manual. This book has everything that we need. Everything that we need to learn and know about faith and trust in God. But we have to put feet on our faith. We have to take the steps there. I think I remember Andrew, he played the Indiana Jones movie clip there, where Indiana Jones was on the edge of a cliff and had to take that step of faith to get to the other side. You couldn't see what was there, but he just took that step of faith, and there was a path there. Sometimes we can't see what's out there, and God is saying, come on, take a step. Abraham, God called Abraham. Abraham, I am taking you. Where, God? I'll tell you when you get there. Just leave. And so he had to. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we cannot see. Do you know, equipment, it's the same, isn't it? Are you like me? Whenever I buy a new piece of equipment, garden equipment, do you know, I don't even take the instructions out the box because I know how it works. I know how it works. I've watched the video, I've seen the picture, and so you just go on and you get in using this equipment and then wonder why it's not working right. Annette would just laugh at me and think, would you read the instructions? Need instructions. It's easy. It's easy. And so for any instructions, even going to the gym, when we first started going to the gym about 50 years ago, they say, well, we have to give you an induction. We have to take you around and show you all the how this works and how that works. I was off. I was away pulling weights and doing the stuff. No, you can't do that. You need to get an induction. But we have to in our lives, you know, as we can't just jump right out and go, well, God, I'm going to have faith. But we have to understand what faith is and how faith operates in our lives, I believe. I believe if you have a better understanding of what faith is and how it works, and yes, a lot of times God is a mystery. There are things we can't fathom about God. There are situations we can't answer. But God is asking us to have breakthrough faith, to see breakthrough come in our life. And we've got to read the manual. We've got to read the Word of God. D.L. Moody, he says, I used to think that I should close my Bible and pray for faith. But I came to see that it was in studying the Word of God that I would get faith. Because faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. And having, I believe, an attitude of faith will break through that ceiling of our lives that sometimes we put on, sometimes other people have put on, sometimes the enemy of our soul puts on us there. That ceiling of fear, that ceiling of lack, that ceiling of disappointment, pain, hurt, wounding, that ceiling of that false identity and self-image, that ceiling of unbelief. God wants us to break through. And sometimes, if you're like me, my prayer is, God, I believe, but help my unbelief. Because we're all on a journey. We're all on a journey of faith. So don't allow your circumstances to determine your faith attitude. You know, we sometimes put a lot of faith on the answer that we want. We see no change in our situation, and so our faith gives out. We're praying so hard for a change in our circumstances. We're praying so hard for a change in our health. We're praying so hard, and we are so hungry to see the answer come. And all our energy goes into that. But I want to say it's where we put our faith. Our faith is in Jesus Christ, and it's Him I believe we should be seeking. And it's through Him I believe that that breakthrough comes. When we put our faith in our circumstances and hoping that it's going to change, I believe we will waver. But I believe when we fix our eyes on God, the perfecter of our faith, the God of all possible, when we change our focus onto Him, we see His promises. Do you know, God's promises will never fail. If He has said it, His promises will never fail. Where is His promises? Where are they? They're in the Word of God. God, You said that You will never leave me nor forsake me. So I don't have to feel so alone, because You are with me. And yes, we do need each other. We need touch. We need each other to spur us on, to encourage us. Where are we putting our faith? Our circumstances can begin to define who God is or what God has done. As we see our circumstances not changing, we believe that God doesn't care, that God doesn't love us, but He loves us so much. He loves us so much. He has given us the means of living life. What's the means of living our lives for Him? His divine power. 2 Peter 1:3. By His divine power, God has given us everything that we need for living a godly life. And we have received all of this by coming to know Him, the One who called us to Himself by means of His marvelous glory and excellence. And you know, there's a story of a man with leprosy who came to Jesus and says, Jesus, if You are willing, You can make me clean. If You are willing. Jesus, if You are willing. And you know, sometimes in our lives, we are like, Jesus, if You are willing. But what did Jesus say? I am willing. Be clean. Jesus is willing and able. Jesus is willing and able. Well, that is what the Word of God tells me. Is there things in my life I'm still praying for? You bet there is. But I am not shrinking back. I am pressing in. I am trusting God that things will turn around. And many of you sitting here today are looking to God to see breakthrough, to see things turn around in your life. I want to say, hold on. Hold on tight. Hold on tight. Come on, tell someone beside you, hold on tight. Hold on. Hold on. One John chapter 5 says, for everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Jesus is the Son of God. What He has promised, He is faithful. He is just. And we, as believers, are ambassadors for Christ. Do you know, there's a world out there that needs hope. There is a world out there that needs to see fear broken off their life. There is a world out there who are confused. And even in sitting in churches. But Jesus is the way. He is the one that brings that breakthrough. He's the one that brings that peace that we need. He's the one that breaks off the fear, all because Jesus paid the price on the cross that we would know freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is
freedom.
Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is
freedom.
Thank you. Freedom. Freedom in God. We are ambassadors for Christ. God is making, 2 Corinthians says, His appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. So when you pray for loved ones, when you pray for people to come back to God, you are Christ's ambassadors. God is speaking through you. Come back to God. Last night, as we prayed here, we were praying for the prodigals to come back home. We were praying for those that had left churches all across this city, those that got hurt, disappointed with life and church, that God would bring them back home. Families that are just broken, that God would restore families. Bring them back. We are ambassadors of Christ, for we are citizens of heaven where the Lord Jesus lives. And you know, as ambassadors, when you are the Spanish ambassador, for example, in the UK, you don't take on as much the customs of the UK. He is there to represent the Spanish customs. What happens in Spain? And so for us, as ambassadors of a new kingdom, the kingdom of God, we are ambassadors of the kingdom. We don't take on the culture of the world. We come with the culture of heaven and bring it into the world. And this world needs men and women who carry that culture of heaven on earth as it is in heaven. Is there anyone here that believes that today? Is there anyone here that wants to see breakthrough come to their life? Representing Jesus, kingdom of heaven on earth. And as we journey through this season of faith, I want to ask you to allow the Holy Spirit to challenge you, to encourage you, to spur you on, for you to experiment and say, God, I am going to try this. I am going to help me to trust in you. Help me to take those steps of faith, whether it's a job. You know, and again, one of the things that, just going to open my heart. You know, when I see this city is a great city, and there's so many people are coming to this city, people who have been sent out from this city, and I'm like, see, for people coming here, maybe some of the students here, I want you to be thinking, well, what about settling in Dundee? What about asking God? What about asking God? I'm not trying to persuade you, girls, but just ask what God is saying. But I believe God is going to come by a move of His Spirit in this city. God has been speaking to us about God is positioning people. Annette, as she saw that picture of a large chessboard, and God was moving pieces there, and we were part of those pieces, and God was saying, I am moving you to Dundee. Why would God move us to Dundee? Because God has a purpose and a plan for our lives and for this city. And so I want you, wherever God takes you, but be praying, God, what about Dundee? I don't want to leave Stephen. I don't want to miss those wonderful sermons, God. What about Dundee? God is here. Dundee, fort of fire. So, are you wanting to go on a journey of faith? We can, and I believe we can see breakthrough because of what Jesus has done on the cross. I want us just to pray and declare. Can we put that prayer up, David? There, just take a moment. And just to have a read through that. You know, I just love when we declare what Jesus has done. And so I just felt for us just to pray that this morning over our lives, over our church there. So can we pray that together? Okay, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me and forgiving me. Thank you for paying the price for my sins and making it possible for me to stand righteous before you. I am forgiven. I am clean. I am guilt-free because of you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for filling me with your Holy Spirit. Fill me today, Holy Spirit. Fill me with your presence and power, enabling me to live out your purposes and plans for my life, and give me faith to see your kingdom bring freedom, healing and breakthrough in my life and through my life, so that all would know that Jesus Christ is alive. Amen. We're going to close with our final song.